Professor Anthony Huete is with us today. It's great to have him on the program. He's very experienced in the world of architecture. He's Ngāti Awa and Ngāti Ranana. And today we're talking about the political consensus to ease the housing crisis, including in the big smokes anyway. The abilities of those who own a smallish block, 750, 800, they can now put up three-story buildings. And imagine that if you're a neighbour, next thing you know, you've got people peering into your backyard. Thanks for joining us on the show today, Anthony. Tēnā koe.
Tēnā koe, Teo. Mōrena, kia ora tātou.
Good to talk with you. I was quite surprised too, A, at the consensus, because we don't see the Nats and Labour combining all that often, but the fact that they feel that to boost housing supply, and they're anticipating big numbers to be built, but circumventing the councils and RMA directives regarding house construction. Firstly, it's looking at the cutting the red tape in the housing supply. What was your role in this housing supply bill?
I didn't have a formal role, but I certainly have commentary, Dale, in and around it. And I guess the fact that there's bipartisan support between National and Labor speaks to the crisis of housing unaffordability, which is sweeping the country. And, of course, the crisis I'm experiencing in Tamaki Makaurau is probably surprising the same as I experienced living in London for 30 years. But I guess the big difference here is that, you know, if I take Auckland as an example, it's a city which is 120 kilometres from its northern to southern boundaries and has a density which is far, far lower, housing density far, far lower than Auckland. In fact, it's six times less. So I think it's a general overview. The relaxing of regulations to motivate housing density can only be seen as a good thing in general.
Look, you mentioned London, and of course big cities across the world have these apartment complexes all over the place. Sydney's another example too, where they have three-story buildings right across town. But it's quite a departure from the way that we grew up as Kiwi kids, and for our Māori people too, perhaps a little unusual. What would you say about the advantages for our people, Anthony, about getting into a house, and what would be some of the detrimental aspects to the plan?
Okay, so if you wind back before I speak to the implications for Māori, if you just think of the Kiwi dream, the ones we were building on quarter-acre sections, that's 1,000 square metres, and we're plonking the single-family dwelling in the middle of that. And of course, in the intervening years, that section at 1,000 square metres got chopped up into typically three smaller plots of 350 square metres, and the original, say, state house was pushed to the side to allow for two more houses, such that we got three dwellings at 1,000 square metres. Now, these new regulations which are coming in, of course, allow three houses, three stories. It suggests it's probably going to be a townhouse or terrace model. And of course, for Māoris, living in such close proximity will be an issue, at least if this is a townhouse, living side by side. And of course, as you mentioned, Dale, in the biggest cities, Sydney, London, often that density leads into tower blocks, which would be even, apartment living, which I guess would even be more foreign for Māori. But, you know, that's the way where the market is going. And if we're going to build better Māori housing, then we have to rethink about the way we have lived in the past and adapt to greater development densities and greater, you know, and that, I guess for Māori too, it will be interesting to work out that the type of housing we will need will be probably need to accommodate intergenerational living, probably slightly larger families. So there'll have to be some sort of flexibility in those sort of models, but it'll be interesting to see. I mean, all that is possible, of course, within three stories.
Feels as though we're accommodating people who have arrived of late rather than our peeps. At a time when we're concerned about obesity, we're clustering people into apartments, as you mentioned, townhouses, but little consideration of green space And do you think that the health and community consequences have been factored into these governmental decisions?
Well, I mean, of course, one of the issues with townhouses is that they require, invariably, they require stairs. And that, of course, will lead to some issues, say, for Komatua and for housing for the aged. In case, you know, living above ground floor is not the easiest. But I guess one thing about building with much more density is we stop urban sprawl. And like I mentioned, that Auckland's become this super city, big, which is larger than London. And as a consequence of urban sprawl through housing, which is lacking in density, we've not only chewed up our natural resources, but also put an additional strain on infrastructure, such as drainage, you know, roads, rail. So, yes, it may be a new way of living, but it's certainly one that I would advocate that we are going to have to get used to living a little bit closer to each other.
And say goodbye to the sunshine, mate.
No, not necessarily. I think there's ways of modelling, you know, like in these big cities, there's ways of, you can model that. You can model, sunlight. You can certainly set up parameters regarding privacy. For example, in the UK, they have some minimum distances between windows, so I think 20 metres in some councils. So, again, it just becomes more and more regulated. And I guess as New Zealand sort of matures and you know, as the population expands, of course, our cities and our housing are going to be more regulated. Currently, the housing regulations we see experienced in Aotearoa New Zealand are quite light compared to sort of bigger European cities, where everything from outdoor amenity and balconies and decks are all specified to the nearest square metre. So expect far more regulation as density goes up. Regulations around light, rights to light, privacy. Parking may also change in the future. There'll be probably desires to try to keep more parking off sites. You know, one of the ways of building more densely is to push parking towards the street. And of course, that's also going to have to be a kind of major mind shift as we no longer park outside your front door and you only have to walk 10 or 15 metres to get to your car. So again, these are all factors which have resulted through unaffordable housing due to sparsity.